Hello, and welcome to the Anti-Fragile Tarot podcast. This is your resident card slinger, Susanna, back after an extremely unintentional hiatus. So, I really didn't mean to drop off the face of the earth like that, but when you start working as a nurse, life gets real. Life gets really real. So, unfortunately, my tarot work has taken a bit of a backseat, which is interesting to think about because I've been maintaining this kind of dual career, which my friend Caden once told me after reading my astrological chart was a thing in my chart, like I would have two careers. But you really can't focus on more than one thing at a time. You can't. I mean, you can multitask. You can have a large multifaceted life. But when you have something that you really, really need to pay attention to and put work in to master, unfortunately, you do have to make choices. I've made the difficult decision to scale back on readings for my Patreon. At this moment, I still plan to do them alternating months, except for $20 a month subscribers. But at this point, I also may be reevaluating that until 2020 comes around and I'm a little bit better. I'm also not doing a lot of events. I do have the Jersey City Oddities Market Odd Holiday coming up on December 8th, which is going to be super fabulous. But that's the next in-person event I'm doing, and I honestly don't really know anything else I'm doing publicly for a while. I am working as a tarot card reader at a friend's event in January, but that's a private birthday party, so that's a whole different thing. But yeah, I've really had to let this take a backseat, but I'm starting to be more of a human. My semester from hell is almost done. Yes, I'm still in school, so I am a whole registered nurse now, but I'm finishing up my bachelor's degree because I work at a fabulous hospital that requires most of its nurses to have bachelor's degrees because bachelor's degrees are correlated with better practice and blah, blah, blah. So I have to make sure I have my degree by 2021. Plus, ya girl got a full scholarship to a local college or university. So that's pretty cool. But because of that, I really have to, you know, put the pedal to the metal, and I've been doing that. I'm taking 5 classes, which is more than I've ever taken and more than I will take again. That extra half hour a week I'm spending on this 5th class is exactly the time that I would normally be spending doing tarot stuff, whether that's working on readings for the Patreon or doing podcasts, doing videos for the Patreon, doing content for my Instagram. My Etsy is currently on a hiatus until next year. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at. I just wanted to give everyone an update because if this is your first time listening to me, you know, this might be boring for you and you have no idea what's going on. But I do have a lot of people who've been listening for a long time, and I really just wanted to keep everyone updated. All right. Enough about me. Let's talk tarot. So I reached out to my amazing Patreon patrons on my Discord, which you can join for $1 a month on Patreon. I have access to the Discord at the most entry level. And someone suggested that I do an episode on the difference between in-person readings and online readings. And I really, really like that idea. So that's what we're going to be focusing on. Now, there are a lot of people who strongly don't agree with or like the idea of doing readings online. A lot of people think that you need to touch the tarot cards to have their energy, that a tarot card reader needs to look at you and get your energy and feel you. And I will say that there is a lot to be said for the level of engagement that you can get in a reading with a person who's right in front of you. I did start my tarot card business online. I have talked about this before. I never intended to do tarot card reading professionally at all. It was a hobby. It took me a long time to really gain any kind of proficiency with it, as it should. You know, most hobbies worth doing have a pretty high, I guess we can call it a barrier for entry. I'm trying to remember the term I saw somewhere recently talking about fulfilling hobbies versus ones that are less fulfilling. Although that even can be very person dependent. Like sometimes for some people, watching movies is not the passive thing that a lot of us do when we're tired and vegging out on the couch. People watch movies and engage with them and critique them and, you know, really, really engage in that way. So I'm not trying to knock something that may seem more passive and that you may or may not have a higher level of investment in. But, you know, for now, I'm sort of separating some more passive hobbies like passively listening to music or watching TV with something that's a little bit more active and requires some more investment. Something like divination, like reading cards, or playing an instrument, or writing, or reading, although reading can also be very passive. You know, scrolling through social media is a passive thing that a lot of us do. So tarot definitely is something that does require some level of investment to really engage in. Now, again, I've said this before, I fully support someone who has a tarot deck that they pick up once in the blue, read using the book as guidance, and don't explore further. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's the level of investment that you are enjoying with tarot, by all means, stay there. I'm not, you know, putting anyone down as a reader. I'm not saying that's a bad or wrong way to read tarot. But a lot of us, especially someone like me, who kind of self-gatekeeps and really enjoys that deep dive into a new hobby or obsession, you know, we really enjoy spending that time learning something. So, anyway, I took a long time to really learn how to read tarot, and I only started charging money when I realized that I had a lot of people asking me for readings all the time, and that charging money was going to make certain people take it more seriously. I can think of a couple people in particular who were coming to me weekly or every other week asking about the same situation for free and wanting more and more depth and more commentary. And I'm like, listen, this is a lot of work. I'm going to have to start charging you. And then I was like, hey, I can make this a side hustle. So I started on Etsy because, quite frankly, I had really bad teeth. I wasn't really taken care of as a kid, and my parents and I spent a lot of time homeless, and we didn't have adequate dental care. So all of our teeth sucked and suffered because of it. So by the time I was a teenager, my adult teeth were already pretty wrecked. And then I didn't get dentures until my mid-20s. I started reading cards professionally in 2015, I want to say. Yeah, 2015, I started reading cards professionally. End of 2015, early 2016. Very early 2016. I think at the end of 2015, I might have started my Etsy. I'd certainly already started charging people some money for it. And I did my readings online because I wasn't confident in setting up a table somewhere with my jacked up teeth and doing readings. I've always had customer-facing, client-facing jobs. And I learned how to talk in a way that helped obscure my teeth. In fact, even now that I have dentures, I realize I still don't move my upper lip as much as I could. but, you know, 26 years of learning how to talk, you know, or a solid 10 years of talking a certain way definitely changes that. So I started my business online because I figured it would be a way for me to dip my toe in. It would be a low investment way to start reading cards for some money. I already knew a bunch of people online who did readings on Etsy, and I felt more confident doing it that way because I just didn't want to deal with the general public any more than I already had to at my job and deal with my teeth like that. Then I got my dentures, I got my teeth fixed, and my friend Brittany, who runs the Jersey City Oddities Market, asked me to do readings at the Pacific Flea, which is a seasonal event that we have in Jersey City. And I said, okay. And I did it. And that's when I started kind of, not precisely alternating, but I started doing more readings in person. I kept my online presence. Again, I do my readings on Patreon. I do readings on my Instagram, and there is my Etsy. But I was doing more events. I do more in-person readings. So I had the Anti-Curiosity shop for a while with Brittany. And while that was a flop, you know, I did some readings there. I do readings out of my house sometimes. I would love to have a dedicated office space, but I don't. So my apartment is there for people I've met before, friends of friends, referrals, etc. I do house calls sometimes. And, you know, over that time, whenever I haven't been able to make it work to meet someone in person, I do offer distance readings. I love doing readings online. For me, I'm someone who connects very strongly with text. It's easier for me to remember things that I have read to a certain extent. And I really engage easily and well with reading. I'm also a pretty good writer. Another reason that November is hard for me is that I do National Novel Writing Month every year. I've done it every year since 2012, and I had a couple failed years before that. But 2012 is when I started my current streak of writing. And I have successfully written 50,000 words of fiction every year since 2012. So I'm a writer. It's a thing I do. And being able to lay out the cards and write about them to people allows me to really flex those muscles. And I enjoy it and I'm good at it. Another reason that I like online reading is because I don't have the person sort of egging me on. I'm not tailoring the reading to their facial expressions. Now, I want to make it clear. I don't sit there and tell people what they want to hear. However, when you're doing a reading for someone in person, you're engaging with them in the moment. And you are playing off of those cues. And anyone who claims not to be, I mean, again, you know, I'm not trying to knock psychics and oracles and blah, blah, blah. But anyone who claims that the person in front of them isn't giving them input, even if they're just sitting there, is at minimum lying to themselves. So, you know, while I'm not going to sit there and drastically change a reading, I have more than once said, well, I don't know, that's what the cards are saying. But I definitely take into account the feedback that someone is giving me in person, and that changes and alters the reading. And that's not a bad thing. It's just different. Because when I'm engaging with the cards in a reading I'm doing and typing up for a client, I'm not going off of their facial expressions or their input or their follow-up questions. I'm just engaging with myself and my knowledge of the cards and the story that I see playing out. And that allows me to dig deep and explore certain things in cards that I don't always get to if someone is focused on something. There's also doing a reading, especially at an event like the markets that I work, there's time limits a lot of the time. The last couple of Jersey City Oddities Markets events I've done, I've had a long line. My girlfriend had to make sure that I took a break at the last one because I was just not able. Like she was like, nope, I'm paying you to go and walk away from the table for a minute because I just had that much of a line. So at the Odd Holiday Market, we will have two readers. We will have me and my friend Mike, who does Chaotic Calm Tarot, which is a name that I deeply appreciate with my connection to Eris, the goddess of chaos. Mike is great. I really appreciate his style. It's different from mine, but it's still something that I really deeply respect and highly recommend. So you'll have options if you come to the Odd Holiday Market in Jersey City at the Harborside Atrium. I'll be posting details about that on my social media very shortly because it's less than a month away. Holy crap. So, yes, when you're doing readings online, you don't have that input, which can be a blessing and a curse. Because unless someone has given me a specific guideline, a specific topic, a situation to read with in distance, I'm really going in totally blind. I have no idea what's going on with them, what they're looking to get out of it. And I don't have that input, which again, double-edged sword there. That's really cool for me to be able to dig in and explore the story I'm seeing. And I've gotten a lot of people who go, holy crap, you hit the nail on the head. That's a phrase that I use about this. You had no way of knowing that. Again, I'm not here to prove my psychicness because I don't have any. But it's still gratifying, you know? It's gratifying to know that the years that I've spent reading and writing stories, the years that I've spent interpreting these cards and their interplay means that I'm producing something that's helpful for people. But then when I'm doing readings in person, most of the time, I really do enjoy being able to do that back and forth, you know, feeding off of their energy, seeing if what I'm saying is making sense to them. And honestly, something that I think is a little underrated is being able to back off if I realize that I'm starting to strike a nerve. Whenever I send out a reading that I've typed up, something I always include is, please, please feel free to reach out to me if you need to debrief after this. You know, tarot aftercare is legitimately a thing. Any kind of divination or witchcraft or practice aftercare is absolutely a thing that should be respected, both for us and the people doing the work and for the people receiving or participating in it. Being able to ground yourself and take a step back from that space that you're in is so important. And I think a lot of people don't really utilize it. Now, again, not every tarot card reading is super, you know, dramatic or heart-wrenching. Sometimes they're fun. Sometimes it's lighthearted and cute. I still remember the reading I once did on Etsy for someone who wanted to know what exercise they should do next. And I said they should do group training. I kind of want to reach out to them and see what they wound up doing. But, you know, that was a really fun thing to do because it wasn't gut-wrenching and it wasn't emotional. It was a simple thing they wanted to talk to the cards about. So that was really nice. And again, that's something I was able to do over distance. Now, something like a phone or video reading is much more similar to the in-person readings than it is to a very removed, you know, you send me your situation and I'll write about it. You know, you are getting more of that feedback. It's not as much as you would in person because there's only so much of the body language you can see. Sometimes there's a lag in the video or there's video quality issues. But it is still more of a connection than, you know, just having me and my cards and typing that up and sending it out into the void. Now, something I will say, if you are someone who's getting readings from someone over the internet, you know, if you're doing the kind of thing that I'm describing, where you're emailing or sending a message with your situation, and then you are getting something back, I really recommend that you send a follow-up email or message or whatever to the person doing the reading. Because when we're doing that, because we don't have that connection with our client, we can't immediately see if that was useful or not. We're not getting any kind of feedback. And it can feel like shouting into the abyss. So that's something to think about. You don't need to go super in-depth. You don't need to go step-by-step over what they said. But even something simple, saying, hey, thanks so much for the reading. That gave me a lot to think about. You know, hey, thanks for that reading. Super accurate. You know, I'm gonna take that into consideration. Or, you know, even constructive criticism. Hey, you know, that reading didn't really touch on what I expected it to. Can you lean more into this aspect? Or, you know, well, I don't really see anything in my life about that right now. I'll let you know if that changes. You know, that's still really useful for us to know. So just a brief message saying that you got it and expressing your thanks and following up with any questions you have. Really, really helpful for us on the other side of the screen. Your tarot card reader is a person too. Something else to consider when thinking about the differences between in-person and digital readings is how seriously someone is taking it. I find that a lot of the time people take readings that they got in person more seriously. Not all the time, not by a long shot, but it's definitely something I've noticed. Part of that is that people often don't remember the specifics of a reading. They're not going to remember the keywords that you used. I mean, maybe they will, but what people are going to remember is the feeling they got out of the reading. Do they feel like they got support? Do they feel like they got a new idea? Were they scared? Were they relieved? That's what they're going to remember. That's what my repeat clients at events tend to remember. I do have a fair amount of people who either have the specific cards handy or either are readers themselves or get readings frequently enough that they can point out specific cards that they often get or specific kinds of cards they often get. Oh, I always get swords. Well, I mean, big mood. But, you know, that's something to keep in mind when people are getting a reading digitally. I do have a few repeat customers, but for the most part, I have one-offs. And, you know, I don't know how much they're utilizing that or taking away from it. The nice thing about a digital reading, a reading that you have done over text message or sent as a PDF like I do, done over email, is that you give someone something they can reflect back on. That's part of why the one reading I really prefer to do in some kind of typed up format or even audio recorded format is the 12-spoked wheel reading I offer, the one that covers 12 different aspects of your life based on astrological houses and the reading that, you know, kind of covers a year for you because it covers both these houses and 12 months. So you can kind of look at it from both perspectives. And that's one that's really nice to be able to sit there and look back on and reflect on. So that's one I strongly prefer doing over distance when I can, just so that the person getting it can look back on it and really dig deep in depth over the year. Yeah, overall, I don't think that my particular reading style changes very much. Oh, right. The other thing I wanted to touch on. Something else I tell people is that I don't think that in-person readings or digital readings are inherently better one way or the other. That being said, if you are someone who really feels that the physical cards have this tangible energy, if you're someone who feels like you need to be touching the cards and giving that energy back to somebody and having that exchange, getting readings online is not going to be as satisfying for you. I don't think that they're less accurate or less useful. Quite the opposite, as I think I've made pretty clear. But again, if you are someone who really values that interplay, getting a reading online is going to be less satisfying. And if you are a tarot card reader yourself, thinking about taking your platform digitally, you may not wish to offer readings like that. You may wish to only offer video chat or over the phone readings if that instant feedback and that instant connection is really, really important to you. It's something to think about. You should only practice tarot in a way that works for you. And you shouldn't feel pressured to do it in a way that other people do. Just because a lot of us modern readers do readings over the internet and are perfectly happy typing something up, never having met someone, having no information about their life, not their birthday, not their favorite color, not a picture of them. Just because a lot of us are comfortable with that and feel like we deliver quality readings that way does not mean that you should feel pressured to do that if that is not how your tarot card reading works. There's nothing wrong with being a little more old school about it. You know, I feel like that's sort of the other side of the pendulum swing here. You know, we went from tarot being this kind of occult thing that was reserved for people who had a certain level of commitment and entry to it. And then we had the mainstream boom when the Rider-Waite was first published. But even then, you know, you still have these pervasive myths that you have to steal or be gifted your tarot deck, that you have to keep it wrapped in silk and only read it at the full moon or whatever. I've heard so many different sort of superstitions or beliefs about tarot that are just, they're not true. They're not true. You don't have to be psychic. You don't have to be descended from witches or whatever nonsense it is that elitists have used to try to keep this tool out of the hands of other people and preserve their cachet. That being said, I do think that there is a big difference between someone who picks up their deck, reads for themselves, uses the book, and is satisfied with that, as opposed to someone who's put in a lot of years constantly brushing up on their craft, refining what they do, doing readings, teaching, learning, growing, and using a solid basis of knowledge and experience. And I don't think it's a bad thing at all to support beginning readers. Quite the opposite. I frequently, if I know a friend of mine is getting into readings and is starting to charge professionally, I almost always get a reading from them, unless they really don't agree with their take on things or I just don't think that our energies are meshing. But I love supporting up-and-coming people. You know, that's the best way to support the community. It's community, not competition. That being said, you know, don't push yourself to do this kind of reading style or be at a level that you're not yet. Respect where you are in the process and respect the process, whatever your process is. You know, it's really important that you do that both for yourself and for your clients. You're going to deliver a better reading experience for them if you're doing it in a medium that you are comfortable with. Had I pushed myself to do more in-person readings before my teeth were fixed, I would have been a lot more self-conscious about it. If I incorporated things into my readings that I wasn't confident in doing yet, I would be doing a disservice to the people that I'm providing a service for. And I would be making myself more stressed out than I have to be. All right. We're nearing our half hour. So to recap, doing readings online versus doing readings in person, there are some major differences. Doing readings online, you get to explore the cards more purely, but you don't have that back-to-back or back-and-forth interaction. Doing readings in person, you are more influenced by the other person and or people. I do couple readings or friend readings a lot, actually, or family readings. You're influenced by them, which can be great, but can also change our creative process. And, you know, it's something to really consider in figuring out where you're at with your style and what you enjoy doing. All right. I think that's where I'm at. Feel free to email me. I am antifragiletarot@gmail.com. I love getting emails from listeners. I love it. It really keeps me going. There have been a lot of times, especially in the last couple months when I was, you know, working on getting my nursing job and just going through a lot personally, where I really thought about packing this in. And quite frankly, I do need to shout out to my Patreon patrons again, because without their support, as I transition into this new phase of my life where I'm an actual registered nurse, without their understanding that my Patreon offerings are changing and they're still here to support me and what I do, and they're my Patreon patrons because they believe in this podcast and what I have to offer. Without that support, I wouldn't still be doing this. I would have packed it in. So I just, again, really want to give a big shout out to everyone who supports me on Patreon, anyone who's ever sent me an email, contacted me on Instagram. I know we're at the self-promotion part of the day, but, you know, bear with it. Maybe you'll be inspired to reach out, and I would love to hear from you. I'm Antifragile Tarot on Instagram, which is one word, Antifragile Tarot on Facebook, which is two words. I do have my Etsy, but again, it's on hiatus. Still, if you want to log on and get a notification when I come back, I'm Antifragile Tarot there, also one word. I'm Antifragile Card on Twitter. I don't really do the Twitter very often, but I'm there. And again, if you want to support me on my Patreon, that's really the best way to, besides emailing me directly, it's the best way to show that you support me. A dollar a month really makes a big difference, and from there you get a discount code for my Etsy, and you get to chat with awesome people on the Discord. So I just wanted to thank everybody who already supports me and give you that way to support me if you were so inclined. If you want to do a one-off tip, I am Antifragile Tarot on Venmo. You can find me there. So shamelessly plugging there. All right. Thank you again to all of my listeners, new and old. You are why I keep doing this. I'm going to get back on track in December. NaNoWriMo will be over. We'll be back to a 2-episode-a-month schedule in December. Please, again, feel free to give me ideas of what you'd like to hear me cover on the podcast. I still have some interviews that I need to set up. I haven't forgotten about them. It's just, life is crazy. Adulting is hard. All right. Thank you. Thank you again. I hope you have a witchy and or wonderful week and month. Reach out to me at antifragiletarot@gmail.com. And if you celebrate Thanksgiving or at least hang out with your families, I hope you have a good one. Obviously, decolonization is something I care about a lot. But, you know, it's an excuse to eat food. And honestly, it's an excuse to talk about these issues and look into, if you're in America or Canada for that matter, although Canada's Thanksgiving was recently, look into the indigenous people of your land. Look into how you can support them. Whatever land you're on, if you're in America, most of us didn't come from here. So look into the people who originally were here and are here and see how you can support them this Thanksgiving. All right. Deuces. I will talk to y'all later. Much, much love. Have a witchy and or wonderful month, and I will see you all December 1st. Bye.